firstborn child of seven in a middle-class family in Romania. My family wasn't rich, but wasn't poor either. Until 1936, I went to school. I finished middle school, and I was not able to get into high school, being that the numerous clauses started. In other words, only 5% of Jews were able to get into high school, and I was over that. As that, you can see that anti-Semitism started already in my young age. That was until 1940 when it really started in Memphis. In 1940 already the Germans walked into Hungary. I was at that time in Budapest with my brother, and seeing that the Germans walked into Budapest, I decided that being the oldest of the family, the oldest child, I have to come home and help my parents with the rest of the children. Sure, I came home. I wasn't big of a help because soon we were deported. In 1944, we were deported. We were all put into ghetto and then deported to Auschwitz. And my way to Auschwitz, I had all my sisters and brothers. My mother and my father were also part of big families. They had 7 and 8 sisters and brothers, all with children and or grandchildren. And my grandparents, all of them got to Auschwitz. We got there on May 1944 after 5 days of traveling in cattle wagons. And we got to Auschwitz when we didn't know where we were. We just had that terrible smell coming from outside, and everybody hoped that there are factories, there are salami factories, what the Germans promised us to be taken to work. And of course it wasn't so. We got out and put into two rows, left and right. That meant life or death. And after a big speech from Dr. Mengele and his friend Koenig that we will be taken to work, and if we will work honestly, then we will have food and we will be happy, and our parents and children will be taken by trucks, because we still have 20 kilometers to go. That was not true, because they were put in on the trucks and right into the crematorium. In the morning we woke up that we were left only a few hundred of the 3,000 that we arrived in the same group. Between the men that were left alive, I recognized my father. I ran to him and told him that we are three left alive. Myself and two sisters. And he said, just work honestly and you'll be okay. And we'll meet after the war in our old home. And this stood with me all the time. I also felt, being the oldest and left with two smaller sisters, that I have a responsibility with them. So I would really try to work hard and help them so I can help. I can bring them home to our old home. We were in the camp a whole year. We were from May till November in Auschwitz.
Do you want to hear anything about the camp, the life in the camp? Okay. Our schedule in the camp was, we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and we stood in line for about 2 hours until they all counted us. That was called a tselapel. They counted so that nobody would be missing. After 2 hours, that was till five. From five till six, we got our breakfast. That was a cup of black coffee, so-called black coffee. It was a colored water. That was the breakfast. And then we started out to work. And we marched to work for about 1 hour out of the camp to the fields. We worked part in agriculture. We worked in building highways. That was the main work that I worked at. We worked from about 7 till 7 in the evening. Then we marched back the one and a half hours to the camp. The marching to work and from work wasn't that simple. We marched, we had music also playing when we walked out the camp. There was a band, a band from Vienna, and we marched with the band, but we had the SS before and after us with the dogs. And if they got into the mood of making us run, then they would make us run, and the people that weren't able to run and were left behind, they were bitten by the dogs, and we had not once and not twice, we had people that we had to bring back bitten or even dead from that enjoyment of the SS. When we came back from work, and if we had stolen a potato or a little piece or green beans and they would catch us, that would mean death also. Not once or twice we had to bring in people that were beaten at work, that they didn't work hard enough or they didn't work good enough. Or one of the SS would just plain have a toy, the gun, shooting someone in the head, see if he can reach. And we had to bring them in dead. There was one case when two people tried to run away from the camp and they got caught. They brought them in the camp and they hanged them in the camp, and we had to stay outside and watch them as they hanged them. We had another experience that I remember that is vivid in my head, that we came back from work and there was at one place a big butoy, a big castle, a big barrel boiling, and it smelled so good, it smelled neat, so everybody would run to steal a piece of it, and we stole some meat of that, and there came someone running after us. Give us back the bones, not the meat, just the bones. We didn't know what it was, and some bones were given back. I found out after the war what those bones were. I read a book, one of the doctors that was from my region, Dr. Niesle, he wrote a book. He was the assistant of Dr. Mengele. The title of the book was, I was Dr. Mengele's dissecting doctor. He was asked by Mengele how he could preserve the bones the best, that they would not get spoiled, and he wanted to preserve a Jew that had a hunchback to prove to the world that the Jews are not normal. And Dr. Nislet told him that the best thing to preserve bones is to boil the meat off. So they put that man to boil, and this was the meat that we stole to eat. And he was devastated that bones will be missing, and then he would be killed while the bones were missing. So that's why he ran after us to get the bones back. What else can I tell you?
On the subject of Mengele, assuming that, again, the viewers don't really know who he is or have heard the name, can you tell us a little bit about that, and if you ever had the experience of the selections and what that involved?
Yes. Dr. Mengele was made quite a few selections between us. As a matter of fact, my sister, that was only 15, she was very thin, and a few times she went through these selections, and it took him only to left or right that this person can stay further and work in the camp, or does she have to go to the crematorium. And a few times he selected us and looked at my sister and said, she's young enough, so she can still work. And we had a case that we worked in building highways. And my knuckle got so sick, I couldn't move anymore, because we would carry the sand and the stones, we would carry with
wheelbarrows.
And I got so sick that we had to do something in order to rest, otherwise I would get into the crematorium. So what did we do? We made artificial eczemas on us. We took a needle and we stuck on the breast, on the stomach until blood would come, and then we rubbed on salt so it would show like a rash. And when you got a rash, then they put you into a so-called hospital. They kept you there for a while, and then came the selections from there, either life or death. But as I saw my hand for sure death, I figured this was my only one way to try. And we made these eczemas for ourselves, rubbing on with salt and with garlic. So you're getting like a rash, and we were selected to get into this place. And we were there for 1 week, and after 1 week there came a selection, and there came the Stubova. The Stubova was the girl that was cleaning that place, and she was a older, she was also a Häftling, one of us. She was also one of us, but she was overseeing us. And she came in running that Mengele is coming, run wherever you could. So everybody ran out, whoever could ran out, and there came the selection. He selected a few hundred out of us, and then we wrote ourselves out and we went back to work. I remember a case when the best friend of mine was hit at work. And I saw her head split in two, and we had to bring her in, and she died. I can also tell you that we had quite a few good experiences also. There were SS, even SS, that were probably sorry they made that one step to get into SS, and they tried to help us, but most of them were afraid of the other one. even if they looked aside and they wouldn't be so strict with us. They were afraid for their own life. But you could see on some that they just looked aside. They let you rest for a few minutes and you could work normally.
Are there any specific incidents of either people, Nazis or people from the not really from the community that would have been earlier helping you?
This, I can tell you one case that was the end of the war, when that was already when Germany was almost finished. They took us from one place to the other, we were walking. They were still hoping that they'll save Germany and then they'll be able to work with us. So as we were walking 20, 30 kilometer a day, our feet got so bad, and you didn't have good shoes either. So my feet were all plagues, and I took only rags and put around my feet. And once we were resting, we got half an hour to rest, and we were resting on the side of the street. And I wanted to take off my rags. My feet hurt terribly, and as they were bloody, the rags were glued to my feet, and I couldn't take them off. And I was crying, sitting there and crying. And there passed two workers. And they stopped and looked at me. Why are you crying? And I got so angry that I took the rag and ripped it off my feet, and the blood came out streaming like that. And they stopped. He took off his boots. He had rubber boots. He took off his boots. And he put them near me. Take them, maybe they'll help you. I looked at him and said, no, I do not want a gift from a German. Take them. He looked at me, he said, but I'll still leave them. And he walked away barefoot. It was rainy, it was snowy, it was March, cold. And he walked away barefoot. He left his boots there. I can tell you that probably these boots saved my life. So, yeah, that was a good experience. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the day you arrived at the camp, because at this point, I'd like to make sure that we're sitting.
The day we arrived to the camp, I told you I met my father, and we were left alive, and then we were taken to the barracks, and we were kept for 6 weeks without work, just with light work in the camp, not outside, in the camp only. And then when they took us to work, some would run away from work. They called 50, and they woke up with only 30, so they didn't know who was the 20 that ran away. Then they decided to give us numbers, and they gave us these numbers. And they started from one. I am in Lager A, that was the camp I was in, and my number was 7504. My sister had 7503, and my little one had 7502. After that, shortly after that, in November, we were taken to Germany from Auschwitz, because they were afraid that the Russians were coming closer and closer and closer, and they needed work in Germany. So they took us to Germany. I went from Auschwitz to Bergen-Belsen, the other famous camp, death camp. And then from there we were taken to Lippstadt, to a factory of airplane.
Okay, I'm going to stop you because I have to change tapes.
Okay, airplane parts.
How old were you?
1 year. Only 1 year.
How old were you?
Oh, how old? 20 years old.
Okay, because I don't know if you brought that up.
You didn't, in fact. That's good. I had a note with that.
And your sisters and whatever. Did your sisters stay with you, or did they survive the camps?
One.
One.
One, yes. You see? One. How good they are.
Okay, you were talking, this is tape two.
Helen.
Kahan.
Kahana. Kahan.
Kahan, right. Okay.
Okay.
Why don't we skip now and
talk? Well, she was talking about that she'd gone to Bergen-Belsen.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry.
Yes, we were going to Bergen-Belsen. From Bergen-Belsen, we were taken to the Lippstadt, to a factory of airplane parts. We were there from December to February. In the middle of February, the Nazis took us from there because the American army was coming closer and closer, and they were still hoping that they'll win the war and they'll be able to keep us to work further for the Germans, for the Nazis. We were walking, it was a terrible way of walking for 6 weeks all around Germany, and without food, without being properly dressed. I told you the experience I had with that German worker. We had in the camp, in the airplane part camp, we also had a good experience with a Nazi. He would come in, he was a Aufseher, a leader of our work, and he would bring his food in once in a while, not eat it, just forget it there, knowing that we would take it. Or he would bring his food packed in newspapers that would bring us some news from outside. Had the rest of the Nazis caught him, he would have been in trouble, but he always found a way to forget it there, so he would help us. After 6 weeks of taking us from one place to the other, we decided that we cannot take it anymore and we have to run away. So we were four of us. It was me, my sister. I didn't mention that the third sister, my smallest sister, was left in Auschwitz. She was sick at the time when they transported us to Bergen-Belsen.
How old was she?
She was 15. And the second sister was 18 and I was 20. And she was left alone. And she was brought also to Bergen-Belsen. This I heard from a cousin of mine. She was brought to Bergen-Belsen after we left Bergen-Belsen. She was liberated in Bergen-Belsen by the Americans, but sick with typhus when the English or Americans, I don't really know exactly, liberated them. My cousin told me that she was very sick and the English soldiers would make crosses, red crosses over the people, red crosses over the people that could be saved. And she found this out, and she took blood from her own lips and made a red cross for herself, hoping that she would be saved. But when the soldiers came to pick up the sick people, she was dead. So we lost her. I saved only one of my sisters, and we were liberated together. When we decided to leave the Nazis, we were in a place where the cows have the hay. What
pasture?
Is it called? Called. Where they keep the hay for the cows.
Hay stack.
Yeah, and a hay loaf. And we went down the hay from up where we were sleeping. We went down as much as we could. And we were hiding there. In the morning, when the Nazis started out to leave the place, they were in such a hurry, even though they used to go in with the bayonets to look if people were not hiding. But we didn't care anymore. We were unable to walk, so we didn't care. We were trying to hoping that we will be able to stay there. And sure enough, in the morning, they were in such a hurry because from one side the Russians were coming, from the other side the English and the Americans. They were in such a hurry, they ran away, and they left us there. But as we found out later, we were not only the four of us that we decided to stay there. There were nine more girls. So we were 13 all together, hidden there. And we were not lucky because 2 hours after they left, one of the servants came in and found us there. They were nice enough to us to give us time to come out and leave their place. They were not going to give us out to the Nazis. Nazis were still around. They were not going to give us out to the Nazis. They were giving us time just to leave their own place. They were afraid of them. So we were able to leave their own place, and we were walking to a house where we asked the inhabitants to give us some food and leave us overnight, saying that we were Germans from Budapest that worked volunteer for Germany. Only the Russians came now and we are in trouble, so but we hope that Germany will recover and will work further for Germans. And this way we went into the mayor of that city and we asked them for an apartment. We got an apartment, a four-room apartment, and we lived there until the Russians liberated us. We were working there in houses like agriculture work or like seamstress or watching kids until the parents went to work. So we were there for 6 weeks until we were liberated by the Russians. When we were liberated by the Russians, our happiness was indescribable, but only for 24 hours. Because after 24 hours, the Russian soldiers got drunk and we were afraid of them. And we started out walking to the Americans. That was in Oshatz where we were liberated. And we started walking towards Chemnitz where the Americans were. We came into the Americans and we asked them if they could help us get home. We thought I remembered my father's words that we will meet in the old home, and I hoped I will find my father at home. Of course, I did not find him because he was killed too. He went to work in a mine, in a coal mine, and he got very sick. He couldn't move on his legs. And one day he was sitting on the ground and saying that he is unable to get up, and a Nazi beat him. Get up, and he said, I can't, and he beat him, and he beat him until he beat him to death. And that was his end. That was just before. So we know exactly the date and the place where he was buried. The place he was buried with other hundreds of people, but we know the city, and we know that he was killed.
Then you went home, and he wasn't there.
Yes. I shouldn't have listened to those words, because I should have thought if my father would be alive, he'll be able to follow me to America. Because I was that lucky that the Americans did not believe us either, that we were Jews and that we were in the camps, because a lot of Nazis did the same thing. They made numbers for themselves, and they were trying to save themselves like this. But after inquiring a lot and questioning us a lot, they found out. So I found one soldier from New York that knew my uncle. It just so happened, I told him I have an uncle that has a bedding in Borough Park, and I knew his address by heart, and he just couldn't believe himself when he said, "You mean Louis is your uncle?" And he knew him, and he said, "And why are you going home? I promise you to put you down in your uncle's home." And I didn't want to. I said, "No, my father said we'll meet in our own home, and we have to go home." So I was probably to make another not Hitler home, a Stalin home. Yeah, so we came home to Romania, with my sister.
How old were you?
21 at that time.
And then what happened? How long did you stay? And
in Romania, I came home, I got sick, very sick right away. I got sick of sciatica and my kidneys. I didn't tell